Welcome to the Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined.
Let's be real, we're still working on refining.
What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made.
Join us as we learn from professionals about how their stories begin. For listening to the Apprenticeship Diaries. I'm your host, Rico Iliano, along with
Amy Nichols.
And we are not coming to you live.
No, not this time. We recorded a couple live episodes that were fun.
It was actually. It was pretty fun.
Planet ADHD joined us again with Father Brian and Lady Rebecca.
Father Brian.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. So, and as our live broadcasts, which we dubbed We Got Nothing, we kind of got nothing this week, folks. We don't have an interview yet.
I honestly think that after the holiday season's over, people will probably, you know, be more chill. Like, I think, you know, given all this insanity now at this point, because apparently, you know, that, well, people listening to this are definitely going to know about the Nashville thing.
Yeah.
You know, when they hear us.
It just happened.
They found human remains, and apparently it was the dude. So, and if it was an American, it definitely wasn't no, you know, like, you know, Middle Eastern type of terrorism. Like, that was a domestic suicide bomber. Like, that shit is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, holy. And then, if you watch,
you just went straight for it. I was gonna lead with like Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, because today's Kwanzaa. So
Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Yeah, you're going straight to current events.
Well, just that one, because that one's fucking insane. But
it is.
Anybody watched the video? If you watched it, it's fucking creepy. The thing was like, if you can hear this, evacuate the area, and then apparently, like, you know, they didn't get all of, you know, the thing on video, or maybe they did, they just released in little bits, but apparently they said that it gave a 15-minute countdown.
Wow.
And if they found the dude, I guess the remains are apparently him, that means that it wasn't a recording and he was actually in the fucking things. Oh, I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess he wanted to take out something when he went down himself, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. But either way, those businesses that were, you know, mostly closed down and stuff, they're definitely getting some fucking insurance money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, big paychecks coming over there. Maybe, I don't know.
Let's hope they had it. Let's hope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, you know, if they didn't have insurance, then that's kind of fucked up. Let's hope. I'll be praying about it.
You can put that down as a fire.
Yeah.
Like, fire hit my building at like 3,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've never been to Tennessee, so I don't know what their rules are there. You probably can't actually open up a business without insurance anyway.
Yeah, no, you can't. I don't think you can.
Yeah.
You got to have insurance, like right out the gate. Right out the gate.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, I'm hoping everybody's chill. We're chill. We're trying to keep it chill. Just because that's how it is. We haven't, I'll admit it, it's mostly, I guess, my fault, just simply because I procrastinate really badly. It's kind of a measure of my profession, too. Like, I know how to regulate my design schedule and all of that stuff, like, really well, but, like, shit that happens once a year. I mean, you know, I did, actually, this year, buy a few things premeditative. That's how it sounded.
Meditative.
Yeah. Whoa. God. Sorry. That was
Thunderfoot.
Thunderfoot. But it wasn't enough, and I found myself still rushing out last minute and like getting shit for people, which I didn't even see all of them. Part of my family was sick this year, so we couldn't go over, and another part of my family was paranoid about sickness this year, so they weren't coming anywhere. So we kept it low key, but I still have gifts for everybody. I wanted to get into it, and you know, the thing I like about the holiday is how creative people get. I wanted to shout out my client, Kirsten, because she gave me this awesome idea to do a painted cactus rock garden that turned out pretty cute. And then I also made dream catchers this year, which was fun.
Really cool.
It was really fun. It really hurt me, though. I will say, like, the way I was sitting, man, if I was a person that had to make dream catchers for a living, I'd have to figure out a better way, because it kind of wrecked me.
I was thinking about something, like, you could design, like, how these microphone stands clip to the edge of the table.
Uh-huh.
Design, like, a little hook that goes like this and hangs like a shepherd's hook. That way you can hang it right in front of you. And
I feel like it would move too much.
Or, and then you could have two little arms that pinch. That hold it all. Or just, you know, like they would be bendy, you know, so like depending on how big the dream catcher is. So it would just be the top hook, it's hanging, the two arms keep it still. So you're like,
I don't know, for dream catcher action.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant for the mics. You lost me. I was like...
Well, the design idea, like how these clip to the edge.
I got you.
It would be a shepherd's hook.
I got you.
You know, that clips.
The problem is you just need a lot of tension. Like, there's a lot of hand work. So I think the thing that was really, like, bothersome was that I was sitting and then I was looking down with my neck. So, like... With tattooing, you get to look up a lot more, and you have to hold your arms up. So there's a lot of shoulder work. But with this, it was a lot of tension from like my wrists and my hands, and then I was looking down, and that didn't feel too good. But it was really fun. The first one that I did was Aylin's, the half moon one, and that one was, man, I was like, girl. I love you so much, because I was adamant I wanted to use these one kind of beads, and I couldn't get anything through them. The hemp wouldn't go through there. Nothing would go. And I didn't have any wax string, which is what they recommend on like every YouTube channel. It's like, go get yourself some wax string, which would have been
nice. What, to make the dream
catcher? Yeah, because it catches to itself. It holds the tension and it'll just kind of like blend into itself and it'll really hold the knots. But what I ended up having to use was like this like yarn stuff that I had. It wasn't, it didn't, I mean, it worked cause I did it, but it was a hell of a lot harder. So I had some fun lessons. I braved new ventures, never made a dream catcher. Now I can say I have. Learned cool ways to and hacked on my own, I think, some cool ways to like stick feathers on there and do certain stuff. I used this yarn the whole way through to do like macrame and stuff around the edges.
It was really cool. You did like that tree.
Yeah, it was interesting because it's what you usually knit with.
Mm-hmm.
Or real knit soft. With. Yeah, it was real soft, so it was. It probably would have worked better if had I gotten some cord or something like that that had more of a, I don't know. But that shit, it was nice because it was really soft and I just, it was really difficult though to like, to braid with and shit. But I guess maybe because I've worked with hair before, I was more patient. It took the patience
off. Well, no, I was watching, and it was very tedious. I was like, yeah, I wouldn't be doing that.
This is the thing with me. I believe, and I don't know why I keep believing this, that everything will just be just fine. Like I always overestimate my potential to get something done quickly and efficiently. And I always underestimate the task. Now, you might feel that way, but I always feel like it takes way longer than what I think it's going to be. And so I just am like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. It's fine. And then when I get involved, I'm like, oh, shit, this is way more than what I thought it was going to be. And it doesn't deter me. I just keep going. But I you know... If I was a bit more, I guess, premeditative about my plan of attack, it would be better. I end up being a lot more reactionary, which I feel like I learn really well doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's not the easiest way to learn, you know, like it's, I mean, we're talking dream catchers here. We're not talking anything that would risk my life or anything. But what I mean is like, I go in all bright-eyed and bushy-tail. I get in it and I'm like, oh shit. But it doesn't make me stop. I'll just muscle through at that point because I'm like, well, fuck, I committed. So now I have to. So that's what ends up happening. But it happens all the time. I'm trying to hack that. If there's a New Year's resolution, it's to be a lot more proactive and, you know, hit things a lot, you know, plan a little bit more. I want to get better at planning a little bit better. You know, my dad doesn't, it's hard because I don't come from planners. You've met my family. Like, they're like, so what are we doing now? Oh yeah, let's go over here. And like, it's kind of like, we all have fun because we're determined to, but we don't plan shit. We're trying to be better, I think, more and more as time goes on, because we're realizing like we have to, but like we're really not the best at coordinated efforts. So,
everybody's chill.
Yeah, everybody's like kind of too chill though, because like we could get a lot more chilling shit done
next to the river on the Monocacy.
I know.
It's like, fuck it, dude.
Well, that's what we're going to do.
I can't wait for spring again so we can go drink moonshine and go fucking fishing the Monocacy.
We can drink moonshine and go fishing still. I'm sure it hasn't frozen over or anything.
Nothing. The fish get real sluggish. They're not going to, you know.
How do you still put something in the water? Excuse me for yawning, folks.
I'd rather just make a big-ass fire and drink moonshine next
to it. Well, that's probably what we're going to do. Mm. We're going to go New Year's Eve. We're going to spend it on the Monocacy with my cousin Don and my Uncle Tommy.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever else wants to join us there. I'm sure Richie and Hannah will probably be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this is family talk. We took it easy this past couple weeks, just simply because there's just been a lot of happenings. I'm trying to gear up for the new year, and I'm kind of giving myself a break to enjoy all the things that I want, you know, like just rest for a little bit and then just kick it into high gear, because I have a lot of shit that I'm hoping to do, and I really, really, really want to accomplish it all, but I gotta do it a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm gonna have to do small movements and take things day by day. That's something that I have to remember constantly.
Mm-hmm.
The control freak that I am just makes me want to do things, like, now. And then I get depressed if I don't accomplish at least something. So that sucks.
Well, that's why you just focus on one at a time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that, like, of course, I got tattooing, which is enough of a task to do well and do really, really well. The podcast, which, you know, I would like to start monetizing and things like that.
What's monetizing mean?
It means making money, hopefully, off of it. Get us some advertisements.
Advertisements.
That we can do, that we can pre-record, fucking that we can, you know, put out there for everybody. That's what most people do. Now, I do think at first, I'm probably going to just read them out if I'm, you know, once I get people that are interested in us shouting them out on our podcast. But yeah, like,
this brought to you by Adult Diaper.
Yeah, right.
Podcast, right? Sometimes you'll shit yourself.
I'll tell you what, sometimes on these podcasts, you know, I've heard these really long form conversations, and people do have to end up going to the bathroom. So that might actually be a good sponsor for a podcast, because I know there's a lot of our you know, people that we've interviewed, and they're like, oh my God, dude, I have to go to the bathroom so fucking bad after we're done. Mm-hmm. They've been holding it. I'm holding it half the time. Half the time I get up and I have to go to the bathroom. So I don't even make it through my own damn podcast before I have to go to the bathroom. you know, welcome to nearly middle age for me.
not even.
I know. Well, I mean, you know, I'm hoping I live longer, but, you know, I'm hitting 40 this year. It's going to be cool. Big 4-0. My aunt, nice. She keeps, she wants me to, paint more. I think she's like, do you have any idea that you could paint and make a lot of money doing painting? And I'm like, but it was what,
yeah.
It was what she was talking about. I printed it out for, cause her birthday is actually Christmas Day. So I sent her a print of this painting that I did for a client actually she wasn't a client. She was actually a woman I met on an airplane coming back from a convention, I believe we were coming back from Arizona at that point. I met her and we just started talking. She was very wealthy, or at least she came from a wealthier family. And she was talking about, I mean, that wasn't, she was really lovely. I mean, it's not even like, I found out later that she was wealthy, but it didn't matter. She was really cool. And she had this friend that was moving and she wanted to have a painting made of his house where she had hung out with him and his partner for, you know, most of the time that they had known each other. And she said, you know, so many cool things had happened in this place and now he's moving away and I would like to commemorate his house. And so I agreed to do the painting. I totally didn't charge enough and she knows I didn't charge enough, but it was more than that because quite frankly, folks, I don't really care about, I mean, I care about getting what something is worth, but quite honestly, I love doing art so much and creating stuff so much that it's really, it's even a hard thing to put a price on it, to be honest with you, because I'm just having so much fucking fun that it doesn't feel right almost to charge for it, even though I do. So what I'm getting at is that it would have been one thing if I had liked painting houses, but I hate painting houses.
Why and, though?
Well, because it's for me. I think it's just because of what I demand of myself. Because you can paint them a lot of different ways, and they work, and it'll look good, and you can freehand mm-hmm. it and whatever, and it'll have the artist's hand in it. But I don't know. When it comes to structure for me, it's just that it's structured. So I want it to really, really look like what it's supposed to look like, and especially this mm-hmm. picture that she had given me. It was the house was like in the background, and the foreground was this huge like garden that was just fucking green. It was just every shade of goddamn green. There was no flowers, no nothing. There was barely anything. And then there was the house and then these trees in the back. It was a beautiful scene. It was a very beautiful scene, but fuck all that green. And I think that's part of it was that it was just this endless garden. Then you had the house and like the middle ground and the background. It was just more fucking green. More trees and shit. And it's so sterile for me. Like, it's like doing a fuck you paint by number to which you have to mix all your own paint. So you don't even have it pre-mixed and like numbered for you. It's just like, oh my God. So it's like chipping away at like, I don't know what it would be like. Whatever is the most monotonous thing that you can think of, it's really that. I mean, I have to think that like that Japanese torture of like just water hitting your head and slowly boring a hole through your head is about what it would be like for most people. I don't know. That's how much I hate it. So I undercut myself, and then I also committed to painting a painting I didn't know at the time that I would hate so much, because quite honestly, like, I just see art. So I'm like, of course, sure, fine. You know, that's great. I'm going to make a painting and it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to charge for it and I'm going to make somebody happy. And that's cool, right? But then when I get involved in something that I loathe and then I realize I didn't charge enough, then I'm like, oh, fuck, this is awful. So my aunt's like, you know, you can make so much money. You know you undercut that. And I said, I know I did. Don't remind me. She's like, you know, you can make a shit ton of money, though, painting, you know, people's houses here. And I'm like, what? No. I learned a valuable lesson. I will not be painting houses again for anyone but my mother. My mother has asked for one, and I owe her one. She's paid for my education in art, and otherwise she has bore all of my rambunctious childhood. She deserves a painting no matter what, how much I hate doing it. But no one else. It will be a collector's item when I die, I'm pretty sure, because it will be one of very few paintings that I have done of houses for people. Uh-huh. And they can, you know, they can be like, well, look, she can paint a painting really well of a house. Look at that. And then I can say, yep, I did. I've done it.
You could just, you know, hate it. Open up an Etsy and just sell crafts and paintings that you do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I love doing art. I'm pretty sure I could make a lot of money doing a lot of things if I did it consistently. The thing that I have down to a science, though, is tattooing. Because I've done it for so long that, like, I know my rhythm and I know how to talk about it. I know how to cultivate that experience with a client. I know how to plan all that out. I fuck myself over when it comes to other things because I don't know the numbers of it and I don't know how to regulate the experience enough and, like, you know, make good money. You know, like, you have to charge what your time's worth, what your experience worth, what your all of that stuff is worth. And I don't do that with anything else.
You've been giving people breaks.
With what?
I mean, you don't be, like, you know, digging in their pockets.
No, I don't, because I want people to have art. Like, I want people to be able to experience art, and I want them to feel like they can, you know, meet an artist that, you know, like, I don't think I'm top shit or anything like that, but, like, the thing is I think that kind of creativity and to be around it and to talk to somebody that is an artist is it's kind of a neat experience, and to work with them is really cool. And I feel personally responsible for the perception of artists too when people are dealing with me, because anytime that somebody has a bad experience with an artist, I feel really awful. Like, oh my God, that sucks. Like, and I really don't want to be that art. And I've been that artist for people. Like, I've started projects and not finished them and ghosted people. And I've felt really bad about that. Like, I think the most that I can say that I am is flaky when it comes to, like, follow through, at least in my past. But lately, it's just in the procrastination thing for me. But yeah, the thing I hate the most is when I feel like somebody has really been abused, or when an interaction or relationship hasn't been managed well and people get hurt. And, you know, especially if you're like, if you're trying to commission something like a painting and you've given the artist plenty of time and they don't follow through, that's really fucked up. That's why I demand with people right now, like, anybody out there that's listening that's not an artist, know this. You have to give an artist a timeline. You fucking have to. If you don't give us a timeline, it's not gonna happen. It's nothing personal. It doesn't mean they don't like what they agreed to do. It doesn't mean that they don't want to when they first took it on. It just fucking means it's not going to be finished ever. It's just not ever. You have to give us deadlines, expectations. That's how we function, man. Like,
yep. Because I won't get shit done.
No, I mean, I'll get shit done. I just won't get your shit done.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
I'll default to all the other people who have given me deadlines.
Let me reupholstery this chair.
You know? and it's hard because it's tattooing, I don't know if anything else is like this, but it's a hard thing to, I feel, regulate entirely. Like, I know my rhythm within it, but it's so, it demands so much attention at different moments and flexibility in certain moments that it's easy to regulate once you know your own patterns and rhythms. But for me, it's hard to integrate other patterns, like, mm-hmm. You know, working out and things like that. Those are things that take some serious focus to integrate into my life and make consistent. And I have to kind of almost be a Nazi about my own schedule when it comes to that, when I really start trying to implement things like that. So I'm vastly taking a break right now. Which is why we have nothing. We have nothing this week. I'm vastly taking a break.
It's the holiday season. Like, people really, they've been doing a lot of shit, and they're probably just, like, need a pause.
Yeah, I mean, that's other people.
And this has been emotionally hard on a lot of people, this, you know.
Well, I mean, that's other people. I'm sure they'll forgive me. I mean, I don't know, but I'm talking about myself. I gotta make goals for myself. It's not a New Year's thing. It's just a fuck, fucking move on thing. Like, I don't think anybody understands how much I hate Christmas, and I'm so happy.
And it's hilarious because gets everybody a gift.
Well,
if somebody hates Christmas, she celebrates the shit out of it. I mean, like,
well, because I don't. It's just choosing how I want to feel within it. Because I hate Christmas because I hate forced celebration. I hate expected ways of acting, and I hate having to. I don't know. I want to get gifts for everybody, and I want to think about everybody, but I want to do that from a place of a very genuine interaction. And I feel like when it comes to things like Christmas, you're forcing these interactions, and you know you're going to be around X people. So you're like, oh, I don't want to be around them and get a gift and not give a gift. And there's certain, you know, I don't like all of that. And between adults, it's really weird. And I never know what anybody wants because we're not hanging out enough for me to be like, oh, I see that. I should get that for so-and-so because they would really like it. I find myself at the very last minute buying a bunch of stuff that I know everybody will like because it's things that you can't not like. You know, like truffles. Like, everybody fucking likes truffles, whether it's the truffle mushroom or it's the truffle fucking truffles with, like, chocolate and shit. I mean, short of a chocolate allergy, you're pretty set. And I don't know anybody like that in my family. So I, you know, things like that, it's very easy to get, and you want to give them a little something, you know, it's mm-hmm. always nice. And I've realized that the people who are the best at gift giving, they get a lot of little somethings. I like getting a lot of little somethings from mm-hmm. people. So that's what I try to do when it comes to other people. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just don't like to show up empty-handed now that I can do things. Plus, with the Dreamcatchers, a big thing was I did have to buy some key elements, like the hoops to put them on and then that yarn. But for the most part, I had a lot of the shit I needed. You know, like, I had the feathers, I had a lot of the beads, I had the seashells that I put in them, I had so many, like, broken necklaces and shit that I could deconstruct and put in there. Like, I hoard crazy amount of shit. Like, I have so much art shit. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So for me not to make things for people is really, It's not, it's just, it's ridiculous. Then I'm also thinking about legacy too. I'm thinking about when I'm dead. I know this is morbid, but I do. I think about like, I just was going through downstairs as I was cleaning, because now it's time to clean her house. It's really gotten bad. You should see the Swiffer wet jet, like the things, the pads that you put. Holy shit, guys. Like, I mean, it did snow here in Maryland, so we've been tracking in a whole bunch of stuff, and oh, gross. So, but I found downstairs, I was going through some of the books that I have, and I have some really old books, and I found some kind of cross stitch thing. It was like needlepoint that my grandmother was invested in, and it was like needlepoint books from 1973. And, you know, that's like, it's almost a decade. It's 8 years before I was born. So like that was her doing needlepoint and just seeing her handwriting and things like that. So like people have something like that of mine that I've made and that they remember me through. Mm-hmm. It's just a really cool thing. And I, you know, it's something that now I guess I can understand why people hold on to it. I also found, if my cousin Kim listens to this at all, Kim, I have some of your OG drawings. I found a drawing, speaking of Aunt Barb, I found a drawing that my cousin Kim did for my Aunt Barb, where it says that she loves her very much and everything like that. And she did a drawing of a clown, and there was this other drawing, and they were really cool, and they were done, and the pages all yellowed. My cousin Kim, I think, is like 12 or 13 years older than me. So, like, to see her old drawings was super dope, and I found them. Like, I think it was just stuff that I acquired from my grandmother's that I didn't realize all the stuff was tucked away in these books and stuff. It was pretty cool. But yeah, like, shit like that. I'm just, you know, I'm not a hoarder. If you saw my house, I mean, there's areas of the house that definitely are more clutter than others, but I keep a lot of shit, and I kind of like things that have like a homemade quality to them. I really like things like that. And I think the thing that got me into it this year too is the fact that we watched that show. Was it Rehab or Repair Shop? Repair mm-hmm. Shop. That's a cool show on Netflix, by the really way, guys. Cool. It's really cool. And Rika just kept looking back at me. He's like, I see you doing this.
Mm-hmm. Totally. It's a really cool show. They got a clockmaker or repair guy.
Yeah. I still look at him and I'm like, dude, I don't want to piss you off. Like,
I know the clockmaker.
Yeah.
That dude's like an assassin or yeah, something. Yeah, he does. In spare time. He's that's an inhuman level of patience, those clockmakers.
I'm telling you, man. Like, I feel like he's killed people.
I mean, like, you got to know math, but like a whole different.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like so much patience, like you said. And so, and knowing like clocks and the delicacy of them.
So many cogs and stuff.
You know what the thing that tricks me out or trips me out about him is that the deconstruction of these clocks.
Yeah.
Like,
and he cleans every
piece, but like I wouldn't know how to put it back to fucking together. Seriously. I could take it apart, but like once I took it apart, if I did not record exactly how I took it apart.
Dude, that's like the real life James Bond.
I could not put that shit back together. The fact that guy could put that shit back together is incredible. It's incredible. If there's a clockmaker out there that would like to interview, I would love to interview you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely be amazing.
Anyone listening to this that knows a clockmaker,
yep,
you would love an interview with a clockmaker because fascinating trade.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very fascinating.
I'm going to be interviewing soon. I'm hoping my good friend Nancy Walker. I've mentioned her a couple times live. I think maybe one time recording, but she's a freelance artist. She's potter. She does fused glass jewelry, wire wrapping, a whole bunch of different stuff.
That's cool.
She made me this beautiful ornament, and she has I think it's It's either annually or biannually. Why are you wafting it towards me? Rico just farted, folks. And he's pushing it my direction, which is terrible.
It's all that sour
and I'm on the floor. That's real fucked up.
But it rises.
Okay. Well, I hope so. Yeah, I don't smell it.
Or, well, it's a gas, so it might fill the volume of the room.
I don't know. Because
that's technically what happens, right? Then the gas, like, it becomes, like, the size of the room.
I guess you're
volume,
right.
Volume, gas, you know, fills the volume.
I would think it would rise and then fall. So maybe it'll hit me in about a minute.
It's like a slow creep. I remember when I was younger, I used to go in the library. Well, not the library, but like the B below.
Uh-huh.
That was down the street.
And I so in a place of business.
Yes. But well, it was a bookstore, you know. And in the magazine aisle, and I used to just freaking fart crop like a SBD. I was like 9, 10 years old all the way down the aisle. Then I would double back around and just look at people looking at each other.
Why a bookstore?
You know, they were blaming each other like this motherfucker.
Why a bookstore?
Just because it's hilarious.
Why?
I don't know. But it is. Because I would just look back and you would see the people going, and they'd be looking at each other and, you know, like they're blaming one another. I used to like doing pranks.
You're terrible.
Remember in school we used to take them stink bombs and
that's the reason why we don't have public libraries anymore, I'll bet you, is the amount of bullshit those goddamn librarians had to deal with on a regular basis. Can you imagine how many people showed up there just randos, like from off the street, just like they probably found piles of shit in corners of the goddamn place, I'll bet you.
Maybe.
I mean, there's lots of crazy shit. I've heard that in Starbucks before, like
they have a lounge area. Anytime you're gonna let people just like sit around, you're gonna have people that are just gonna fully take advantage and exploit that.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Well, I was talking about Nancy, and she's been an artist for a really long time. But I'm excited to interview her because what we just said about needing deadlines, she does, I think it's a biannual art show, but it might be an annual. I'm not sure if it's annual or biannual, but she does them. So I guess she has a deadline, which is the whole year mm-hmm. or a half a year. I think it's a half a year, but I could be wrong about it entirely. We'll figure it out. She might have a set series of shows that she actually does and then gets ready for the shows. But, like, it's, I'd like to hear about, like, what that's like for her. I mean, I would imagine the production of that is just, like, off the chain. Like, it's like Christmas every single fucking time. Oh, my God.
Mm.
Like, I've never had to create, I mean, I guess I have because I've had to do a portfolio, like, collection. Like, I've had to get a portfolio together, but I've never had to, like, produce a huge body of work. And I guess I should one time in my life, like, have to, like, produce, like, a huge body of work for an event.
Reminds me when I built trusses, we had to produce
huge
bodies of
work. You had units that you had to
man,
make.
It was, building trusses is fun, though. I really enjoyed that. Like, it's easy. I still remember how to do it. It's really fucking easy.
I ordered, and I don't know what we're going to get, babe, but I ordered this. It was $35. It'll probably take like 3 months to get here. I'm pretty sure it was from Asia somewhere. But I ordered this mini laser engraver for wood. And
no way.
I did.
Wait, like a hand one or like a little, you hook it up to the computer?
I think it's you hook it up to the computer and you can like, you can only do smaller stuff. Like
it doesn't matter, babe. Seriously?
Yeah.
Holy
I got
shit.
It. So I don't
How
know.
How much did it cost?
$35. That's what
that's
I'm saying.
It for this thing?
Well, see, that's why I don't know what we're going to get.
We're going to turn on and start shooting these.
I have this weird thing on my forehead for the rest of my life. That's this brand. I don't know.
How big of a, like, things can you engrave with it?
I don't know. The internet's deceiving. But it looked cool. And, I was lulled in by an advertisement that was like, we see that you're into things like this. And I was like, yes, I am. So I just thought it would be cool to, like, see what we can make out of it. But I know that you wanted me to do some things on your guns.
Yeah, I made that new one I want to get. It's under $300, but it's a 500 Smith & Wesson.
I don't know. Anybody, let me know what your boyfriends try to haggle with you about. Because Rico's always haggling about guns. And he's like, what about this one?
Well, it's a single shot. It's an H&R 500 Magnum. And I wanted you to, like, engrave the grip, the stock, and everything, like, just awesomeness all over. Because I want it to be truly one of a kind, because, I mean, it kind of is, because it's basically the first of its kind.
Well, something that I saw recently on Instagram, it was a girl who put up her artwork, is she does hand-wood-carved, like, it looks like she buys things from, like, I'm not sure exactly, but it's like big wooden tables that she just hand carves these beautiful, huge flowers into. And it's gorgeous. And I have wood carving tools. I know I do somewhere.
Well, I wanted you to kind of burn like something into the stock.
I am not great with wood burning.
And, okay, you've got to take a picture of the thing. Actually, I will. And I will post it on Apprenticeship Diaries.
Okay.
She did this thing of this eagle. And she says she's not good at wood burning. Oh my God. I want it then. It's mine.
I've not finished it yet. I have to paint the background. So
what are you painting the background?
I was going to stain it.
No.
Yeah.
No, just no. It's fine the way it is.
No. It needs the stain. I'm telling you, I'm going to make it better.
Okay.
Anyway, though, I it was not as awesome as I anticipated it to be, but Rico thinks it's awesome. So I guess it's like good for a person that doesn't know what they're doing. But I don't approve. Like I feel like there's a certain type of wood that probably does well with wood burning that I don't have. Because the veins in the wood that I'm using are really troublesome, and I don't know if that's a consistent thing with all woods.
It's probably consistent with all woods, and it's wood burning, not specific woods burning.
There's burning. Definitely...
It's going to burn all of it.
No, you're wrong, because like there's people who wood burn, not wood, but they use wood burning tools on gourds and things like that.
Well, yeah, but
and they produce some really cool shit, and I know it definitely depends on the thing that you're doing it on. I mean, it fucking does depending on what kind of paper you're on, babe, if you're drawing something. So don't tell me there aren't different woods that react different ways to burning. Like there definitely is. I just gotta find the right wood. I'm pretty sure that there's certain kinds of wood that are better for it than others. But anyway, we're getting an engraver, so I don't know. That's a cool gun. It's pretty.
Yeah, little single shot, break barrel, freaking 500 Smith & Wesson Magnum. You could hunt literally everything on the planet. But you better take it down in the first shot. Or else you better reload it.
Yeah, you're only get one. Very cool. Well, you'll be good with that. You're pretty lethal with one shot.
Oh, yeah. No, plus, like, something like that, like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of a kind.
That's cool.
And it's, like, you know, the calibers that it's a straight wall, you know, legal in Maryland now, so.
You're very far away from your mic.
But I'm still sounding great.
How do you know that?
Because I can hear myself.
I can hear you better now.
Cool.
I'm not against you having a gun.
Cool.
Another gun.
What? I don't. That's my first one ever.
Your first one ever.
That's my first purchase ever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah.
Lost all of them in a boating accident.
What?
I said I lost all of them in a boating accident.
Okay. Yeah. Right on, right on. So yeah, you want to get a gun. I'm trying to get everybody up to speed. Anything else? Yeah, I have a few interviews coming up. There's Nancy, then one of my clients, Eric, who actually were embarking on a journey of, I'm trying to catalog and create like a syllabus for a tattoo apprenticeship using certain resources. So I'm basically going on this journey with him and another client of mine, Tara, who also is interested
She's got apprentices.
Yeah,
Dos
well,
apprentices.
They're two people that are willing to take this journey with me and help me formulate it. Yeah, but
student.
Yes.
Exactly.
They're
do not overcomplicate this.
I really want to formulate something that will be a in between of maybe formal education in art. If you're coming off of art school, or even if you want to just get into tattooing and you don't know where to go first.
So you want to design a playbook, basically?
Yeah, like a, well, yeah, like a,
what's the word I'm looking for? I know, right?
A playbook is good, but maybe like, yeah, I guess it would be like a textbook almost.
An
like,
instructional but manual.
Like, I think it's more of like
instruction manual.
I don't know. Like I'm trying to come up with like a I think an online tutorial process where I can lead people through a series of things that I know work well and troubleshoot common questions and stuff. So we're documenting this heavily. One because we're in COVID land and Zoom meetings are the new way to like socialize and like get together. Not to say that we're not going to have a lot of hands-on training too, but I have to be respectful to my clients in a lot of ways and that, you know, more people in the room while they're getting tattooed is probably not cool. So I am allowing my clients to have a friend with them when they're getting tattooed, but that's mostly because I have a lot of control over my workspace and I'm able to wipe it down. But
you are a boss hoss.
Yeah, but to ask my client to be okay with a person watching as I tattoo, it's going to take very specific clients and very specific. I just don't want to do it willy-nilly. I want it to be controlled.
Here,
and
I have an idea.
Be,
you got to finish my chess piece, so next time we actually do it, you can have them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to do a lot of things before that, but I'm taking them through a series of exercises. We're going to meet digitally. We're going to have...
Zoom.
Yeah, we're just going to have regular touch points at first. At least that's how I'm doing it. And I'm also formulating as I go. Because one of the things is that I kind of want to make sure that I'm reacting to them. So there's, I think there's an air of which I do have to stress that I think that this is individualized. And I think that apprenticeship needs to be that way. And that's what makes it so awesome is that you're able to keep it very personal with the human being that you're teaching. So if Tara needs to hone something that Eric's really great at, maybe Eric can help me in showing her some things. I told Eric the last time I talked to him that I was going to start CCing them on everything. Once we get past the initial like book that I had them read, and questions that they might have. It's fun. I really like their questions. Their questions are very, they're very apprenticeship questions. Like, you know, it's a lot of questions that you can tell they've been thinking about for a while, and they're taking this new information, and then they're letting their minds just wander and go to wherever within what they're absorbing. And a lot of the questions, they're not there yet. It's not that they can't ask the question. It's just they're not going to understand the answer yet. So there's it's funny. I like seeing their questions because it shows what they're interested in, what they're already thinking about, and kind of just seeing how people respond to tattooing, just right away and from a book, because what they have is their experience being tattooed, some language that they've picked up along the way. I'm sure Ink Master helped with some of it. And then, their artistic knowledge, and then like this tattoo book that I gave them. And then, I'm giving them a syllabus as we're rolling it out, but
what's a syllabus?
A syllabus is a series of of exercises that will be expected within a timeline. So like, in this month, we're going to explore these things, and I'm going to give X amount of time to accomplish these goals. So it's basically a plan of action. It's a promise that I'm making to them about the kind of knowledge they're going to get. And then it's kind of a checklist for me of the things that we've already gone through. And, like I said, each person, I'm sure, will have their things that they're great at, things that they're not great at, things that we have to re-examine more. I'm hoping that by having two people, both from different backgrounds, that they'll be able to aid each other in things that one might be great at and the other one might not be that great at. And they can help motivate and push each other too, because I do feel like they're that kind of human too. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what shakes loose. I mean, ultimately, I think everybody's hoping that they will work with me one day, which would be really cool too. I mean, I think that would be awesome. But I will tell everybody, and I've told them, like, I don't want to make any promises that I can't keep. And right now, I'm limited to. I'm not really limited, but like I'm comfortable where I'm at right now, and I'm not looking to expand until I have a little bit more of clarity about where I'm going and what I'm doing next. Bless you, babe.
Thank you.
And that relies on a lot of my family logistics, because my mom has been sick lately. There's COVID. We don't even know who the fuck our president is. We just got done with Christmas. We gotta have 2020 die. Like, there's just some things personally I need for things to level out before I'll feel secure making any kind
of. One thing that all this COVID shit did was, like, some of the shit that they're doing now, like these protocols, honestly, should have been in fucking place well before anything like this happened, like the wiping down and the sanitization of like shopping carts, number one. I'm like, why the fuck? Because, like, I grew up in a restaurant family, and like I know the restaurant protocols, and you're constantly wiping down stuff, bleaching, and bleach is sanitizing.
I don't really think that should have been something that they needed a I think that having hand sanitizer right there and maybe wipes available to your client so that they can wipe down their carts.
Yeah, the sanitizer should have been there. Idea to have anyway.
I mean, when it comes to food,
yeah,
and food
here's another thing,
and money handling,
that everybody needs to take away from 2020, regardless of political affiliations or what you believe or think. One thing that happened in 2020 is everybody is basically learning how our judicial system works or doesn't work, and really how fucking little power federal government actually has. And, honestly, all the power
should
is really
have.
In.
Should have.
Yeah,
honestly.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the local and state governments need to have, minimal power. Honestly, local governments, like literally counties, should have the top say, because a county is going to be made up of a majority of fucking people that live there.
It's like my mom said. I mean, there's a reason why it leads with "we the people." It's because,
well, yeah, absolutely,
we the people are.
But everyone has learned, a great deal. Well, should have. I doubt like a lot, but
well, I hope people have learned how much power they actually have to determine their own life.
Yeah, because, and an individual does have a shit ton of power, man. If you're you know tenacious and you go through the court systems and you fight, like there have been a shit ton of laws and bills and stuff that were created because of one American individual. So like everybody out there, you know, don't think that your voice doesn't matter, whatever. Like if you take it, your voice matters. In a certain setting, on a certain stage. And honestly, that stage is the only stage that matters. Everywhere else, it's probably pointless, but like, you gotta take it where it's, you know, heated.
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that people realize.
Speechless.
Well, I mean, honestly, we don't have much for this podcast, everyone. So I'm trying to parry off that. Well, I just hope everybody believes that they have power to affect the course of their own life. You do.
Everybody, honestly, everybody that's listening to this, you are responsible for your own safety.
Yes.
Because the police, regardless of what the fuck happened, usually take at least 15 minutes to get to you.
Well, and not only that, but most people don't realize that they're meant to actually...
You can bleed out in like 3 minutes.
They're not really asked to save your life. They're asked to go and...
Report.
They're observers. And actually isolate the incident and make sure that if there is actual crime taking place, that the crime stops there and they take into custody whoever's necessary. Yeah,
and catch the bad guys.
That's it. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to die. It doesn't mean
that
they...
You are responsible for your own safety.
Right. It doesn't mean that they are indebted to risk their life for yours. A lot of people will go in there and try, especially if they're well-trained. Which we could argue about whether or not all police officers are as highly trained as others. But I'm just saying that, like, your life...
I think a freaking physical condition
I would say this. Your life is your responsibility in all facets. Like, the choices you make, everything. They're your responsibility. Unless you're under the age of consent. If you're under the age of consent, your life is your parents'. And, you know, there's even options within that legally. I've met people that have legally, you know, divorced their parents or separated. And it was like an emancipation who have legally done that. So there are even options then. But then, you know, you're on your own. So it's one of those things.
Yeah, you know, like somebody that grew up in an Italian family, like, when I hear shit like that, I'm just like, I'm like, because if I would have said that shit to my parents, they'd be like, look, there's the fucking the front door.
And this is a guy who just called his dad right before we start he's like, babe, if we start podcasting now, my dad might call. He has to call me before he goes to bed.
Hey, that's respect.
I know, I'm just saying, like, this is what
respect.
So he calls him, so he's like, hey, dad, we're podcasting, so.
And he's like, oh, that's a cool.
So, yeah. Like,
no, that's respect, man.
Well.
Don't try making fun of me. You see that, everybody? Did you hear that?
I'm
trying to make fun of me.
All I'm saying is that you probably wouldn't have emancipated yourself. They probably would have let you go, and then they probably would have let you come back.
Absolutely.
There would have been no need. It's just like...
Come back 3 days later.
Yeah.
You sleep out in the street to go take a fuck in the shower. Dinner's on the table when you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And then they feed you a five-course meal.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So that's one of the things that I got to partake in for the second time.
The Feast of the Seven Fishes. My God, it was glorious. We had eel. It's fucking delicious, regardless of. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people that have eaten Asian cuisine has eaten eel. And you might not think so, but you probably did, dude. Because some of those wraps, like the volcano rolls and stuff like that, they might either have the meat or the skin in them. And either way, it's delicious. Really good.
Yeah, eel's really good.
We had bacala.
Yep.
which is like a salted dried cod. You get it, and I mean, you don't even have to put it in the fridge, nothing. You can keep it and it lasts for months and months and months, possibly even years, because it's just salted, completely dehydrated. And then you rehydrate it by letting it soak in water overnight, and then you fry it, eat it with some lemons. Then we ate fucking, what, mussels, clams.
There's shrimp.
Shrimp, there lobster.
Was calamari.
Calamari.
Yeah. It was good. It was really good.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's not just those things. It was, yeah, that was Christmas Eve. So it was that. And then it's not just that, you know, there's bread, there's pasta with it.
Oh, man.
There's
shit.
There's fucking coffee at the end and wine and.
And Scopa.
My fucking heart was on fire. Going, oh, my God. I couldn't. There was so much. And
well,
butter.
It was because of all the food. I'm still feeling it.
I'm telling you, man. Like, it was crazy.
But I'm hungry.
Crazy.
I'm going to go fuck up some Cocoa Pebbles.
Crazy. So, and then on Christmas Day, I had brajol, which was really good.
Brajol.
And it was at the...
It's like a
southern Italy version.
The northern Italians, brajol is like pork.
Yeah.
But our version, Napolitan brajol, is like the leg muscle.
It seems like brisket
the cow
almost.
Or the cattle.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then they like slice it thinner and then they wrap it like in pinoles or pine nuts and all kind of other stuff. Well,
yeah.
They put that in the middle, wrap it up, put toothpicks through it and let it like just slow cook in the ragu.
His dad's so funny.
Sauce.
He's like, be careful of the toothpicks.
Yeah.
He's like, be careful.
Oh, man.
It was so good.
That shit is good.
It's really
brajol
good.
Brajol is good.
And the sauce apparently cooked for 7 hours, did
11.
You say? 11, psh, sorry. Psh, psh. I'm sorry.
When we make the sauce at the shop, we usually cook it for about 7 hours. We'll put it on the stove. Well,
it's
I
really
started
good.
Doing this. They used to cook it in less time, but I put it on low flame to make sure nothing
mm-hmm.
burns. Real low flame.
Yeah, you got
like
to.
10 in the morning, and we just let it roll to like 6, so actually probably like 8 or 9 hours, to like 6 or 7. Then we
mm-hmm.
pulled it off, put it in the back.
I got to see a whole bunch of pictures of Rico when he was baby face.
Oh, man, long before I lifted weights.
Yeah.
I
was
like,
cool.
Who is this person?
So that was cool. And I heard about some family stories that were great. It was really fun. Really, really
mm-hmm.
fun. I get to meet your family a little bit more each time. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
It's really cool. But yeah, so that's our Christmas. New Year's, so I'm meeting again with my apprentices. Well, again with Eric. He wants to actually, we're going to interview him, hopefully, because he's actually...
Nichols? Eric Nichols?
No, but I would like to interview my cousin, Eric.
Yeah, we'll just get him loaded.
He's cool as shit. Yeah, we'll get loaded.
We'll all
too.
Get loaded, man. That'll be
we'll
a great podcast.
Yeah, we think it will be.
Hey, we
in
can,
our
hey,
minds,
you know
it will
we
be.
Do? We could just have the mics and shit set up, and just record, and then I could be playing Crystal in Mortal Kombat in the background, whipping her ass.
Oh my gosh.
She got so salty.
Yeah, well.
Because she was talking about shit. She's like, oh, I beat Eric all the time. I'm going to beat you too.
Yeah.
And I was like, watch this.
Eric doesn't care.
I was like, I'm going to be Sub-Zero and whip your ass. And that's what I did. She got pissed off because I kept doing all the fatalities. I was like, I still remember.
Yeah, she probably has my action plan, which is I'm going to hit as many
yeah,
buttons.
Yeah, she's a button masher. I was like, block, block.
I'm a button masher.
Just unload combos.
Yeah, I never knew about any
of that. I was like, freeze.
Yeah, I never had command over my characters. I just button mashed. I did really well button mashing, though, I will say. I used to piss off a lot of people who used to, you know, have more controlled plans of fighting. They were like, what the fuck? And I was like, I don't even know what I was doing.
I just jump, pow, kick in the back of the head, and like, go ahead, keep mashing the buttons.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'll probably never be good at playing video games. That's fine. That's fine by me.
My attention span, honestly, right now, if I played a video game, the only one I'd probably be able to really play is Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Yep.
I do. I will say that I really liked the book.
I haven't played a video game in years. Probably over a decade.
I did really like the book Ready Player One. It was really good. The movie, I was reminiscent of it. I thought it was a good rendition of it. But yeah, I really liked the book of it. I can't imagine living the majority of my life virtually. That kind of sucks. I mean, maybe that's what I'm doing. Maybe that's what I'm doing without even knowing it. I do spend a considerable amount of time on social media, much more than I'm proud of. But yeah, I just joined a, it's called The Network. It's, Jason Statham. You always say that. I'm sure he'd be happy to know that you always say that. But he invited me to the network as an extension of the, the 365. It's a challenge to make media every day in 2021. And post it. So some kind of media and create these things and get them up and rolling and always have something that you're producing and putting out there. So I'm now in a network of people who are taking on that similar challenge, which is pretty fucking cool. And I'm excited about that. Like, that's going to be something.
Does it start January 1st?
It does. So there's accountability for it. And we will all be like pushing each other, and I think it would be a neat thing for me to try because I've never been a part of anything like
That's
that.
That's where them memes are gonna come in handy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to create media. It's not allowed for me just to post a meme. No, I'm still want you to do your thing because that's you're a part of the podcast, and you posting the memes is good. Like you said, people need to laugh, and you're definitely more the comedy than I am. So, yeah.
I'll bring smiles.
Yeah, you do. You're awesome. You have a great sense of humor. It's hilarious. I'm on that, so hopefully I'll transfer some of the hours that I spend in other places there. Misties.
Look at the light. Bless you.
Excuse me. I held back on that. I'm usually a three sneezer, but I try to keep it minimal for you guys, folks. Do you have any more things to discuss, babe? You want to wrap it? This is a short one.
It's over an hour.
Is it already?
Yeah, hour and 8 minutes.
What the fuck? Bam, bam, bam. I did not mean for that to go over an hour, folks.
Oh, no, it's all good.
But it's
thank you
a short
for
one.
Listening to all Christmas Ramble Jam.
Yes. Happy Kwanzaa and
Happy Chris Mahana Kwanzaa.
We'll be checking y'all out probably next year.
Yep.
If you get a chance, email us and tell us some of your goals or expectations of us or whatever you might like, any challenges you might be having, any things that you might want to share. If you would like to interview, please reach out to us. It's theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. Email us. We'd love to hear from you. Merry Christmas.
Unless you're a troll. If you're trolling, we're going to keep on rolling.
Yes. That's for sure. All right, bye.
Good day. Thanks for listening. You can find The Apprenticeship Diaries on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our IG is the_apprenticeship_diaries. If you would like to offer constructive criticism or an interview, drop us an email at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from our listeners.